For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet where we talk about the things that matter, like sci-fi, fantasy, swords, space lasers, movies, and television. I am Dan Selke, the editor of winneriscoming.net, and Daniel Roman, our usual co-host, is still out. He'll be back later this week, but he's still out for a little bit longer. So stepping in is entertainment publication extraordinaire and my boss, Natalie Zamora. Natalie, how are you?
I'm good. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming in. It's always fun to talk to you and always fun to talk to all of you out there. Thanks for commenting. Hello, Monica. Hello, Katie, Christian, Monica again. Good to see you all. And Natalie, you came on a good day. Okay, we have quite a few folk in the chat, probably because I advertised this with House of the Dragon release date and Wheel of Time release date. So let's just get right to that. Let's get the folk what they want. And I'll start by admitting that I lied. Not completely. We don't have an exact like House of the Dragon season 2 release date, but we do have some new information. Apologies if some of you were expecting a bit more than that. Basically, an HBO executive named Francesca Orsi talked to Deadline recently and talked about a whole lot of stuff, like kind of some interesting stuff. Like she's talking about how the writer's strike's affecting things, how The Last of Us probably isn't going to get started as soon as they wanted it to. And yes, she did mention that they're targeting a summer 2024 House of the release date for House of the Dragon season 2. Yay.
Yay.
Does that sound about right to you, Natalie?
Yeah. I mean, I think we knew definitely, hopefully 2024. I know, you know, they're still filming through the writer's strike. So I thought we would still get it. But summer is good. We like summer. Yeah.
And the first season came out in summer in August.
Yeah.
The older I get, the happier I am to stay inside and watch dragons during the summer and not go outside. But it's so hot in August anyway. But yeah, basically, and they've made a real point to not slow down during the writer's strike. They really want this big thing on their roster to come out next summer. And I mean, so far it's going according to plan, and we'll see what happens if actors join the strike. But yeah, summer 2024. I wrote 2025 here, but I got it wrong. So summer 2024 is what they're targeting. And according to Orsi, we think that the audience will be just as pleased, if not more so. We haven't been in production for too long, but what I've seen is pretty extraordinary. We are proud of seeing how those scripts are coming alive. The emotionality that the cast is bringing to it is something that we feel confident with and know that we're going to deliver something special. Now, one question I've had, and I have for you, is so the writers are on strike. We all know this. The House of the Dragon is filming without them. And we've been talking about, like, so Does that mean that, because usually if writers are not on strike and they're on set, they can make edits while they're shooting. They can rewrite scenes. They can write new scenes as needed. They can correct things that don't make sense that are only caught then. And we've wondered, like, how will that affect the finished product? Orsi did comment on that, and I'd love to hear what you think, if it's satisfactory. Orsi said, as for the strike, if there's anything that needs to be rewritten or reshot, we'll handle that after the strike, and we'll put the resources behind revising what we need to do and reshooting what we need to do if we've made any mistakes along the way. So, Natalie, is this a reasonable, satisfactory answer, or is this an executive trying to put a Band-Aid on a shotgun wound?
Both, probably. I think it depends, you know, it all comes down to how long the strike is going to last.
It really
does.
If
they want to do rewrites and reshoots, I mean, that's a big deal. So if they're, you know, completed with it and it's the end of the year, I don't know how much time they're going to have to do these rewrites and reshoots. So I don't know. I'm trying to stay positive about it, but as more time goes on, I'm getting a little worried.
It is. I mean, because we've heard nothing about movement, right? I mean, like, I think it was George R. R. Martin, who was on the picket lines this week in New Mexico about the writer's strike. And he said, I mean, like, they haven't even come to the table yet. I mean, with the debt ceiling stuff in Washington, at least you hear about them talking a lot and it being acrimonious. We've heard, like, we've seen writers are striking and there's been no movement anywhere. The last one lasted 100 days. Who knows how long this will last? I mean, maybe it'll go straight through the end of shooting into the reshoot time. It's just impossible to know.
Yeah, it definitely could. So I don't know. They said they'll put money into it if they need to, more money into, you know, fixing things. So we'll see, because I really do think this is going to be the big show of 2024 because everything else is getting pushed back. Yeah. So they better put all the money in there.
It's going to make HBO so happy. No one else is going to have anything.
Yeah.
It's just going to be them. They're going to be so, so pleased. Unless it's rough. Sorry.
And they won't have anything else. Like The Last of Us pushed back, Euphoria pushed back. This is their thing.
It's going to be a lame year, but, you know, at least House of Dragon will be there.
Yeah.
it's going to be tricky. And just for the record, Take the Black throws in its vote with the striking writers. So we're going to throw all our considerable power behind that. Hope you guys get a fair deal. Go writing. Orsi also talked about cutting the second season of House of the Dragon down from 10 episodes to 2. I mean, I'm sorry, to 8 by 2 to 8. 10 minus 2 equals 8. Saying that there was some question about the narrative shape of season 2. So we're developing it with Ryan Condal and executive producer Sarah Hess. And we realized that we were sort of treading water narratively in the middle of the season. So it felt much more rigorous, more urgent emotional arc for our characters if we can press the season. And then that also dictated how we would kick off season 3. I love parsing out things that executives say and trying to see if there's some kind of ulterior motive to it. Natalie, when you hear that, do you hear, okay, they're trying to tell the best story possible and it makes sense to go from 10 to 8 episodes? Or are you hearing they messed up everything? It was a complete disaster and they had to salvage something. This is what they came out of it with.
Oh, I don't know. I hope it's not the second. I might be too optimistic with these things, but I know a lot of people were mad when it came out that, oh, there's going to be only 8 episodes, not 10. I think it's fine. Like, it's not, fine, I don't know. 6 would probably be annoying, but 8, sure. I think 8 is fine. I think that when execs come out and give these interviews, they are trying to save face and they're obviously just going to say the nicest thing possible, but I don't think there's anything bad going on. I think 8 episodes, I'm going to try to trust that it makes sense. Cause I'm sure, like, I mean, I can't even imagine, I'm sure you would be good at this, but I could not imagine mapping out Fire and Blood, especially just because of the way that it's, yeah, you could, but the way that it's like not a narrative story, like having to say like, okay, all this is in season 1, this is in season 2, this is in season 3, maybe season 4. Like, that just sounds very difficult. That's probably why it's not my job. But so I'm just going to trust them. Season one was good. So
it was. It was.
Be positive.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they've earned, I think, the benefit of the doubt. And that's what I'm giving them. I guess I want to be pessimistic. I spend too much time thinking about this kind of thing. I could totally map out season 2, 3, 4. I kind of want to do it in an article. It's one of my plans that I'm going to just like put up in every episode. But that's for the future. But that's my sickness, and no one else should really have to worry about it. Christian can watch enough sports to be entertained. Well, good for you, Christian. Some of us don't know the difference between a volley sack and a hockey ball. So we can't do anything. So no. I'm going to have to like read a book or something in 2024, which I don't want to do. Although if Bracken into a corner, if Daniel were here, I'm sure he'd have no problems reading books.
Like I said, reality TV. Terrible reality TV is what we'll have.
I don't feel like I've ever. No, it's not true. I watch Drag Race. So that's my big reality love. Do you have any reality loves, Natalie? Like reality shows that you really like?
Not really. I mean, I really like Queer Eye, but I didn't even watch this new season. So fake fan. I watched The Bachelor stuff here and there, but I can't say I'm a fan of it.
I think I'd like to know everybody who watches The Bachelor acts of it. Although if anybody in the comments has a different opinion, feel free to send out. I'd be curious. Martha says, I could watch Outlander. I could. That's true. Yeah, I will finally catch up on Outlander. And Sai Ganesha over on YouTube says, I doubt the strike lasts till November when filming ends. They'll have time before July 2024 release. It'll be mostly pickup shots and minor scene changes, not massive restructuring, no time jumps. Sai Ganesha, by the way, your comments are always like very informed. So thank you for that. Thank you for everybody who's commenting. But you sound like industry.
Something.
Maybe you work at a house that, ooh, that'd be interesting. We'll talk later, Sai Ganesha. And as Christian says, record shape of my household, as it should be. And thank you, Andrew, for the comment about the gavel. I enjoy the gavel as well. The thing comes off, too.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Anyway, some other little stray bits of news about House of the Dragon season 2. We learned some casting stuff. We got Eddie Eyre, who played Sir Gerald Hightower, a bit role in Game of Thrones. He was remember that scene where it was like a Bran flashback and young Ned Stark fought a guy with who was dual wielding swords?
Mm-hmm.
Like Gerald Hightower was another dude in that scene. I don't think he even had a line.
That was the Arthur Dayne scene.
Arthur Dayne. Yeah.
The strongest fighter. The best
According
fighter.
To ChatGPT, yeah, he's the strongest fighter. And I'm not arguing with the robot. I want to get in good with that guy for when it takes over. But yeah, Eddie Eyre is going to be in House of the Dragon in an as yet undisclosed role, which is fine because they've had other like minor Game of Thrones folk also play House of the Dragon folk. Oh, I think that the guy who plays the Lannister twins in House of the Dragon was a squire in Game of Thrones, so that's fine. That's cool. Any comments on that?
Good for him. At first, good I was like, him. Wait, he's not playing the same role, right? And then I was like, okay, the math. No, it's not mathing. No.
Yeah, there's no way.
Maybe. No.
And then also, we think we have the casting for Blood, who is, so there's a big thing coming up called Blood and Cheese. I don't think I'm going to explain it just because I feel like we talk about it so often on here.
Yeah.
But it's coming in season two. It's a big event. It's people have are it. I'm sure they'll put effort into doing it. And we know that Mark Stoppard is going to play Cheese, who is a former Red Keep rat catcher. And this gentleman, a 6'5" guy named Sam C. Wilson, will play Blood, a former soldier, current mercenary. I'm going to guess he's British, but I know he's 6'5", and that sounds about right. So Blood's like a big bruiser mercenary guy. You've read Fire and Blood now, Natalie, right?
Yes. Yes. So I know all about this situation.
It's happened so quick. I mean,
yeah.
It happened so fast in the book. It's kind of weird that it's taken on this like life among fans as like the thing to get to, because it's really, it goes by very quickly, but it is pretty intense and brutal. If you were House of the Dragon producers, would you make a big deal of this event? Make it a big episode ender cliffhanger kind of thing?
Yes, definitely. I hope they make it as dramatic, dark, and crazy as possible. That's how I felt reading Fire and Blood. Mm-hmm. I kind of just felt like I was getting whiplash because there's so many crazy moments, especially once the war gets going, that it's like, I'm like, okay, I'm reading like two pages and there's like probably two seasons of a show in here. But so, yeah, this was a moment that I was like, this is going to be awesome on TV. While reading it, it was, you know, kind of crazy, but I think it'll be better on TV.
I love that you want it to go for the jugular and the darkness and everything. That's one of your best qualities, I think. I think this book would be a blast to adapt because, I don't know, it's like it's this sketchy kind of skeleton that you get to build out. And it's why I get irritated when they diverge so much from the thing, because it's all pretty simple. You don't have to work very hard to stick close to this. Like, you don't need to
bullet point.
It's already bullet points. You could already fill in a lot. It's not hard to stick close to it. But again, that's my sickness, and that's another story. But yeah, a lot of stuff happening. And they also Orsi also talked about A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which I still haven't read. I'm probably going to do that soon.
Oh, I thought you did.
I have not. I'm actually not. Daniel is the reader in the Wick family. That guy inhales books. I mean, I'm a reader, but I'm not that. Daniel reads books like a vacuum eats dust. Like, he just hoovers them up. I'm reading books, but I'm not as voracious as him. But anyway, but now I have to read this because they're going to make a TV show out of it. And I want to because it seems good. But basically, Francisco Orr said that as far as the other Game of Thrones spinoff, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, goes, there are currently three novellas out. Martin wants to write more, but I mean, who put no stock in that? Because why would anybody trust that at this point? And they want to make three seasons out of three novellas, like short six episode things. And she also said that what they like is that because this series is kind of smaller scale, there are no dragons, they're all dead, they won't be reborn for another 50, 60 years or something, it'll be a bit smaller in scale and they can turn it around a little faster. So that's kind of the thinking there, which makes some sense. Sure. And won't be as much of VFX, just lots of fun costumes, and kudos to all the Renaissance Fair folk who will be gainfully employed by the show.
It'll be less exciting though. No dragons.
I guess. I don't know. I believe if they could just... I haven't read the book, so I don't know exactly what happens in them. But if they can find ways to... Succession doesn't have any dragons, but people are still thrilled about that. We'll talk about that in a second. And finally, they said that the Jon Snow show... Folk won't know about that, but they don't know anything. They haven't ordered it. They don't know if they will order it. Stop asking. We'll talk to you when we know something.
Yes. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like I know it's probably not a good idea, but I just want this character back. So I want it selfishly, even though it might be a train wreck. So I don't know.
I don't want it. I think two is good. I think two spinoffs is enough. I don't want them to really. That'd be fun. But how about later. Like after? Yeah. I've said this a million times. I'm repeating myself. I'm guilty, but I just don't want them to do what Marvel and Star Wars is doing and have eight out at the same time. I just don't. I want them to choose good, and then maybe later get with Kit Harington when he's like 45, and you can catch up with middle-aged Jon Snow.
I'm sure.
He seemed to like it. As Martha says, the thing I liked about Game of Thrones is that you got to know the characters. I'm not sure about other spinoffs and so many other characters. I agree. Like, I want more. I'm enjoying more, but I just don't want them to overload me and maybe go into control or delete mode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what's happening in Westeros. As always, what a fun time everyone is having. We also got good news, and we got an actual firm release date for another big fantasy show, which I know that you've watched and enjoyed more or less, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Wheel of Time, based on Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson's 14-book-long epic fantasy series published between like the early 90s and the mid-2010s. First season came out a couple of years ago on Amazon Prime. It was divisive, but I liked it. I think enough folk liked it, and the second season is coming on September 1st, which I'm excited about. I really liked this show. I thought it was earnest, a little, it's kind of scratches that fantasy age, but it's different enough from Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings. It doesn't feel like you're just completely retreading something. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what happens next to this fun cast of characters. How about you, Natalie?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that we finally have the release date. I did enjoy the first season, but I think I need to go back and rewatch it because I don't remember a lot of it. Like, I feel like there might have been a few episodes I was on my phone, admittedly.
Sure.
But I enjoyed it. So I will be watching season two, definitely.
It went down easy. I enjoyed it. And it has fans. Like, as Monica says, my favorite series ever, Wheel of Time. Like, this series does have fans. And I feel like it could be a breakthrough hit. It's not quite there yet, but it's close. And we have some images here. I did not write down the actor names. Why didn't I do that? We have Joshua. I'm going to do it from memory. We have Joshua Stradowski. It might be his name as Randall Thor. I know they can't know the actors. The main guy. He's in a hood. Classic fantasy murder hoodie. Great for that. He's on the run in this season. Good for him. We have, from memory, we have Donald Finn, I think who is
so
playing Matt. And he is replacing the character who played him in the actor who played him in season one, Barney Harris. I think I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
Right. Barney Harris is out. Donald Finn, which might be his name, is in. He's a main character. And that doesn't happen a whole lot. Like, you have a whole new actor playing the character, but it happens occasionally. And so I don't know what happened with the first guy. It's a mystery. Something COVID. But this is what's happening now. And finally, a final image of, I'm not even going to try their actors, but, you know, some kooky fantasy characters. We got the Shan Chen civilization that was matched there. We got Loyal in the back, the big tree person who I love in the book, and the evil dark one in the front. Oh, what fun. I liked it. I'm glad it's coming back. I want to watch more. And it looks like folk in the chats are excited about it too. As Monica says, Donald Finn a better fit. She doesn't even care about it being changed. She's potential. I agree. And Saganisha says, I didn't know anything about Wheel of Time before the show premiere. Checked it out and thought it was all right. I agree. I'm talking about season two, especially since it was like 1.5 years since season one. I'm going to watch though, September 1st.
September 1st.
Do you remember like anything about the first season or just that you enjoyed it? Or do you have anything like specifically you're looking forward to?
I feel like I maybe was paying attention more at like the start of the series because I was very much like, I think I was like helping out with some articles. So I was like, I don't know anything about the world. So let me pay attention and like take notes because, you know, the world building I had to get familiar with. But I did really like the characters. And I thought some of the scenes were shot really nice. Like the cinematography was good. I'm sure because Amazon, they paid money for it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm excited about that. Some good shots and good characters. That was very big.
Hey, if you like what you like, if you like something like. I've read a few of the books now to prepare for this. And just because Wheel of Time is like a big, important in the canon of fantasy. So I've tried to make misses to read them. I like it. It's not my favorite series anymore, but I do like it. And I thought, I like the earnestness of the show. They seem to be really trying to, you can tell the guy who makes it likes it a lot. And that comes through, I think. I love the episode with Moiraine in the tower, the white tower in Tar Valon, and kind of following her journey. That was one of my favorite ones of the year of any TV show. So the talent is there. Yeah. And I want them to soar even higher this time. And as Monica says, she recommends go back and watch. I might.
I have to.
Okay. Now let's talk about something that we both know pretty well. And this is not exactly fantasy sci-fi, but whatever. It's not going to end again, and I want to talk about it. Succession, which you could argue was HBO's true successor to Game of Thrones, to a bunch of rich folk trying to get a throne. Why not? Ended this past Sunday. And folks are calling this like the latest great HBO show. And some articles are already being like, what will HBO do now that Succession is over? Which I just roll my eyes at, because they asked that now that Game of Thrones is over, what are they going to do? Now Sopranos is over, what are they going to do? Now Succession, what are they going to do? They'll find something. They always find something, especially now, because they have House of the Dragon, The Last of Us, and Euphoria. It's like they're actually pretty, or The White Lotus, they're actually pretty stacked.
Yeah.
But Succession, the Roy family fighting to see who will succeed the throne of Waystar Royco, a Fox News-like media conglomerate. It came to an end. Season 4 ended. Natalie, just do you have a impression of the finale? Did it satisfy you, or did it leave you wanting?
It satisfied me. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, this is something where it's like, I think you go into the finale knowing it's not going to have a happy ending, but it's also not going to have like a huge traumatic ending either. It's going to be kind of like, all right, they're sad again, and that's just their lives. Like, they're never going to be happy. And then, yeah, it's not going to be like a big Game of Thrones death or something like that. So I thought they did it really well. And I'm just like, the weeks leading up to this, I realized how attached I am to the show. And I just feel like profoundly sad now that it's over. I don't want them to keep going, because I think they did a great job wrapping it up. But I'm sad that it's over. I really like the show.
It's one of Succession is one of those shows like Game of Thrones that seemed had a way of like occupying space in your brain. Mm-hmm. Even when you weren't watching it, like it took up a part of the mind, and there is a sense of loss when it's over, especially because I like the finale too. We won't spoil the worst of it. There, maybe just Game of Thrones rewired me, because I don't know that there was, I guess I was expecting something a little more definitive, because really, like, they could do more. Like, it's not like the characters all die or anything. Like, their lives continue, but obviously they turned a huge corner and none of them got this prize they'd been seeking. They tore themselves apart after they got together. It was very sweet watching them bond a little bit. These siblings only for, and I knew, because it was like halfway done, like, well, this isn't going to last. They're going to sabotage themselves somehow. It was a really great show. The acting was terrific. I personally got very attached. My favorite Roy, now that I've seen all of them, I think is going to be Roman. Roman's my boy. Roman's my guy. He's self-destructive. He's sarcastic. He hides his misery behind like a wall of off-putting jokes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just good. And Kieran Culkin is very sharp, like whip fast, whip sharp, whip smart. With the deliveries, Roman's my favorite. How about you? Do you have a favorite, Roy?
Definitely Kendall, for better or for worse. It's not a great thing. I do. So Roman really pisses me off, but I think he had the best ending. Definitely. Like, I was happy for him. I feel like it was just like, he's miserable. Yes. It's like scales of miserable, because they all are, like, you know, none of them are going to be happy, but just, it kind of felt that closure of like, he's out of it now. He can kind of like make his own life. Shiv is never going to be out of it. And Kendall, he's not either, just because of, he's going to be in it in his mind. Like,
Like, Kendall's out, but it's impossible for him to be out, because he lives in the 24/7. He's not actually inside the circle anymore.
Exactly. So I was happy for Roman. But yeah, Kendall is my favorite. I know they're all terrible people.
They really
are.
But I
was rooting for him until the very end.
I kind of wanted it to go through, because even if he got what he wanted, Kendall, and again, we're talking in kind of generalities here. We're not going to spoil that outright. I feel like he still wouldn't have been happy.
No.
None of them would have been. They would have been like temporarily enjoyed. So I don't know. I wanted that sense of relief for them, but I can't say that it was surprising that when Kendall was like reduced to arguing, he was the eldest boy, so he deserves it. Like going full Game of Thrones, full on.
Oh yeah. Game of Thrones too, when they were like, you don't have a bloodline. I was like, oh no. Like there was like little, like they're not little, but just so many, like their dialogue is so good. And it's just like, oh yeah. Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Like in House of the Dragon, Rhaenyra's kids are not really Laenor's, so like that's obviously a big thing.
Ooh,
in Succession. Yeah. I don't know if they're not really his kids. Like, you know, they didn't really get into it, but that's
one was adopted. I knew that. And I guess the other was like a previous marriage with Rava, the wife.
Yeah.
But
it was rough.
It was great. And I will miss it. And it was very good throughout the show. We have someone saying that they're watching it in season two, not loving it so much. And it's not for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
But when someone says like the writing on a show is good, it can mean a few things. It can mean like structurally it's solid, it fits, it flows. Succession had a way of playing with language and like having these fun insults and one-liners that really did feel unique. I like that about it a lot. I thought it was firing on the writing side on all cylinders for a long time. So I would say it's like it's modern Shakespeare. I don't know what that means, but it was very fun to watch and listen to. But we got from Psychonisha, Kendall might die. Rowan might be a severe alcoholic now, and she was in a no-win, no-lose situation. Sacrifice what she wants to save her marriage with Tom and her baby, quite possibly. Yeah, honestly, I looked at the Roman thing and I thought, I wasn't relieved. I was kind of afraid he might find love at the bottom of a bottle, if you know what I'm talking about. But I guess we'll never know.
I'm just secretly hoping he ends up with Jerry somehow. He ordered the martini. That's what she drinks. He's waiting for her. She's going to come. It's going to be a rom-com.
No. I love that. I don't usually ship. I'm not someone who like roots for couples. I was rooting for Roman and Jerry. That was like, it was too weird. It was too wrong. I did get on that very strange bandwagon, even though it was like, so it was doomed from the start, but it was so, I didn't expect it. I was just delighted by the strange chemistry. Whenever I watch it, that's what got me on a Roman's bandwagon, really. So thank you to Jerry for that too. What a good show. And now it's over. And as Psychonisha says, they're going to debut The Idol, which is going to be HBO's next thing, which is getting horrible reviews and lots of bad press.
Thank God.
I can't say I'm not kind of intrigued by all of it, by all the circus about it. If it wasn't HBO, I wouldn't be. I know that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, I can't promise I won't try it. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yes, I'm terrible because I'm going to watch it. Like I have to. It's also like for the views, come on. I feel like it's going to be popular, but I'm just hoping that if it's really that terrible and, you know, sexist and all of these really bad things that they're saying, I hope that the reviews stay bad. Like even if it's popular, I hope the reviews at least stay bad because I know the creator, Sam Levinson, gets really bitter about bad reviews. So that's what I'm hoping for. I saw an interview of him at Con and they were asking him like, oh, you know, did you see the Rolling Stone article, all the controversy? Danced around the question and then it was so cringe. He just said, yeah, when I read the article, I looked at my wife and said, this is going to be the biggest show of the summer.
I did hear that.
I was like, Jesus Christ, that's not how you answer that, but okay.
Traditionally, if I've noticed this, if like there's a movie and it comes out and the critics don't like it, but it becomes popular, it's a sequel, and then the sequel will be thought of as much worse by the general fan base who liked the first one, but the critics like it this time because it feels like they've, oh, this is I should like this. So we'll see how The Idol shakes out when it comes out. That Sam Levinson guy, he does just give off weird vibes, doesn't he? It's kind of like, don't leave him in a room with somebody like, I've never watched Euphoria. I might try it, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's because he's really talented. I love Euphoria, but there are just so many problematic things that it's like, feels weird. I don't know.
I'm going to try it, and we'll let you know what we think, because I want to be part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll get there. By the way, Psychonisha is saying that about Succession again. I thought it meant that Kendall is infertile. That might have been it. So they went with an IVF route with a sperm donor, so we can't get into the bloodline on his children. Roman did say that the one child was a buy-in, and the other was between Rava and a filing cabinet, which again is one of those great Succession lines. The show is full of those.
Yeah, it was so quick too. You have to rewind it to hear it.
Okay, we should probably talk before we start making jokes I can't take back. And then finally, Psychonisha says, we got to remember to take a step back to see that while we are in a Succession and immense greatness, winning all those awards, not popular, highest viewership, 2.9 million, 30% of Last Dragon and The Last of Us. True, Succession was not HBO's golden goose in terms of ratings. Although, again, it also cost a lot less to make than House of the Dragon and The Last of Us, which are you're spending zombie and dragon stuff on. So I'm sure they made money on it. Just, And again, I did see a person the other day. I was walking my dog wearing a Kendall Roy shirt with like a collage from the 90s of like him in different poses. So it got in people's heads, and I'm glad it did because it deserves to. I wonder if there can be like a non-franchise special effects driven show that hits the levels of A House of the Dragon or The Last of Us these days. Like just like a normal drama. Is that even possible anymore?
The White Lotus-ish.
But The White Lotus is quite popular, yeah. I mean, on Netflix, I know there's stuff that I don't watch that's very, very popular. It's just like straight drama. Emily in Paris. People like that, right?
Lincoln Lawyer. The Night Agent, like, broke
the
a bunch
Night
of
Agent.
Pressure.
There you go.
Yeah. Not for me, but that's okay.
Work. Yeah, so I'm afraid that we're Psychonisha. We like all this greatness. And we'll just pat ourselves on the back for that. Anyway, good talk. Are you watching anything else, Natalie, nowadays?
I just finished Yellow Jackets season 2. The finale came out last weekend. It was so disappointing. I really didn't like the season. Yeah. I mean, I had season 1 on like such a pedestal. I thought it was so good and I really, really loved it. It was like near perfect. And then, I just don't think they did a good job following it up. They, you know, introduced a bunch of new characters just because they needed new storylines. And it didn't seem like they had things mapped out. Elijah Wood is in season 2 and I loved him. I always love him.
Of course.
And the performances are good, but I don't know. Didn't really go anywhere. I'm not excited about season 3, which is in the works.
I'm sorry for that. A classic sophomore slump situation.
Yep.
It happens sometimes. I wrapped up Succession. I got to wrap up Ted Lasso. I still watch the finale to that. I would have today, but just didn't get or yesterday. I haven't been able to get around to it. And after that, Barry was really good. That also ended on HBO. That was also a fun finale. Very solid. Do you watch that show? I forget.
No, I don't. I've had trouble getting into it. Yeah. I really love Bill Hader, but I don't know what it is.
That definitely picked up as it went, but I'll admit it wasn't like the absolute peak of must-see TV. It was a good show, though, and a solid ending. Now I finally get to watch other stuff. I'm going to watch Mrs. Maisel, the final season. I can finally watch the final season of Better Call Saul, because that's on Netflix now, and I haven't gotten around to that. And then this month, I'm going to have to watch... I don't necessarily want to watch all of this, but I'm going to be watching... I got to watch The Witcher season 3 when that comes out.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to watch The Secret Invasion show and review that. We got Black Mirror coming out. We got Ashley Hirst going to review The Walking Dead, Dead City on Wic. That's coming out.
Nice.
We're looking for someone to review the second season of Star Trek Strange New World. It's the only one I haven't staffed yet. If anybody's interested, feel free to sound off. Are you looking forward to anything this month? Because there is quite a lot on the horizon.
Black Mirror, definitely. I think that will be my big thing this month. And tomorrow is June, but yeah, this month. I think that's really the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, Makes sense. Oh, and Robert Harris mentioned Silo, which, yes, Daniel is the only one watching Silo. But Robert, it's because there's too much else to watch. When can I watch this? I want to watch Severance, too, on Apple TV Plus. It's another, but maybe I'll do Silo first. I don't know. It's hard to fit everything in. I've heard Severance is great. Daniel loves the crap out of Severance. He was putting like a high in his rankings.
It took me a little bit to get into it, a few episodes, and then I was like, okay, no, this is really good.
And maybe if Silo finished out the first season, great. I'll put that on my list too. But yes, next up is Severance, Mrs. Maisel, Better Call Saul. It's already so much.
The Witcher, your favorite.
The Witcher, I'm going to... all the shows that I mentioned are like watching dinner with my partner, like premiere shows. The Witcher, I'll burn off. While I like answer emails later that night, so it'll at least be I'm not gonna like give my full attention to it, but I will watch it because I should. And who knows, maybe it'll be great, but probably almost I will eat $100 bill if The Witcher is great. Season 3 is really good.
All right,
live on camera.
We have the footage.
Yeah, we have the footage. Call me out on it. That's how confident I am. All right, so. Before we reach that, why don't we wrap up this episode of Take the Black Live with the signature WIC news lightning round, where we get 20 seconds to answer just a number of queries about stuff we didn't have time to talk about in the main body of the show. Natalie, are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you stuff first, then you ask me, and I arrange these with the idea that we wouldn't get things we can't answer and don't know about.
Okay.
All right, Natalie, 20 seconds on the clock. Pedro Pascal, star of literally everything, has revealed that pretty much he's no longer ever on the set of The Mandalorian. He's only doing the voice now, and John Wayne's grandson is in the suit doing the stunts.
Yeah, so we kind of knew this already, right? But yeah. I guess Pedro did the Hollywood Reporter roundtable and sneakily out of that whole interview was like, yeah, I, you know, do most of the voice, and then talked about how not having to be there opened up The Last of Us filming. He was out filming when, you know, they did The Mandalorian. So it makes sense. I mean, do we really need him?
It does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next up, Boimler, played by Jack Quaid, and Mariner, played by Tawny Newsome from Star Trek Lower Decks, appear in live action in season 2 of Strange New Worlds. And there's the photo.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not a giant Star Trek guy, but I do know they have 80 shows on right now. And these two characters are in an animated series called Lower Decks, and that's the actors who play them. And now their animated character, they're going to play the live action versions of the animated characters they voice in a different Star Trek show. And that's neat. I think that's neat. Especially if you're into crossovers and stuff. So I probably won't watch, but good for Trek fans. That's a nice little treat for you. Here's a fun one. Natalie, I'm not sure if you're probably aware of the history, but Nicolas Cage, who at one point was going to play Superman, there's even photos of this in a movie, in an aborted movie from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Will play Superman in The Flash alongside Ezra Miller and Michael Keaton and all those people.
Yeah. So like you said, Nick Cage was supposed to play Superman in the 90s. So like, good for him. I feel like nowadays the MCU and the DC universe, all they do is these cameos, and they've already spoiled this one. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to see the movie, but I am a Nick Cage fan. So happy for him. Happy for his fan. About it.
I'd see it if I get into free. I'm seeing the Spider-Verse movie for free tonight.
I'm excited for that.
And I'll give it a great review. So if you want a great review for The Flash, just invite me to a screening and I will gladly give it an A+. I don't even care. Okay, moving on. It's you.
Okay. George R. R. Martin appears on the WGA picket line with Neil Gaiman and Nnedi Okorafor. And there's the photo.
Yeah. Pretty cool, right? So George R. R. Martin for the writer's strike in his native New Mexico with Neil Gaiman, who wrote The Sandman, and Nnedi Okorafor, who wrote Who Fears Death, which Martin is helping her turn into an HBO show. That's not going to happen now because the writer's on strike. Just cool to see him on the picket line. You know, he was a writer in Hollywood for years. He's still writing the book. He's not on strike from the book. I mean, not like formally anyway. but he is trying to get TV writers a better deal. Good for him. And another fun photo one, Carice Van Houten, who played Melisandre on Game of Thrones, got arrested at a climate protest in The Hague, and her sign says, "The night is dark and full of fossil fuels." Haha.
Yes, I love this. I mean, not happy cool. She got arrested, but yeah, this is pretty released. Bad. Yeah, she was protesting in the Netherlands, and of course, her sign is a nod to Melisandre, "The night is dark and full of terror." So I love this. I remember I saw this on Twitter instantly. Like, not happy she got arrested, but happy she's doing the right thing. Love that.
Yeah, good for Carice. And a great character to be associated with. Like, if people think that you're implacable and intimidating and can kill them with magic, they're not going to mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Next one. Joe Abercrombie's book, Best Served Cold, is getting turned into a movie.
Okay. Again, this one is better for Daniel because he reads books, but Joe Abercrombie, I haven't read it, but he's a big fantasy author. I know his name. I know his work. And he's written a thing called The First Law Trilogy, which is very, very popular. Maybe I'll read it. I don't know if I have time. But he's getting a standalone novel in the First Law universe turned into a movie. And it's just great to see other fantasy authors getting the Hollywood treatment. Like, Brandon Sanderson finally getting it. Now this guy's getting it. We've wanted more since the Game of Thrones boom, and maybe this is going to open the door for, you know, Gaiman's got more stuff coming, and I'll stop talking now, but good for Joe Abercrombie and good for fantasy adaptations. And finally, I don't know if you heard the story yet, but it's a weird one. Okay, so I'll try to summarize it. A disgruntled former chef who, like, worked in a hotel attacked Benedict Cumberbatch's home with a fish knife, just like a knife for eating fish, like a utensil. Screamed like, "I hope your house burns down. I know you moved here," and then was fined and got a restraining order against him. We don't know why. We don't know what the beef was.
Yes, I read this story on winterscoming.net. And what the hell? And Benedict Cumberbatch, his wife, and his kids were home when this happened. Yep. So that's scary, but they're okay. So happy for them. And I hope this guy does not try to come back. Because what are you doing, dude? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure he knows, but he definitely did that thing. And that's our show. Everybody, thanks for watching. Natalie, thank you so much for being here. You are always a delight and a pleasure to speak to, whether online or off. And next week is probably going to be Daniel Roman's return, unless something unexpected happens. He should be back next week. But thanks again. Thanks to Camilla, who filled in last week. And we're here every week at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 3 Eastern, 1 Mountain, noon Western. I still can do that correctly. Here on the Winter is Coming Facebook page and the Winter is Coming YouTube page with more of this kind of thing. Isn't that fun? So download us on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are available to listen to us. Without the live show, come back and watch us live. Visit the website, give us a like and subscribe. And I pronounce this show over.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.